This show is part of the Pod Tyrant Network. For more podcasts, interviews, and content, visit podtyrant.com. Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of Bad Wolf Radio, a discussion and review podcast all about Doctor Who. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron Goins, and I'm here with the man whose new favorite companion is most definitely Nardole, Adam Farmer.
He definitely adds a little bit more life to things, doesn't he? He's a welcome change, or I'm trying to think what have some reports started calling him? Not the chauffeur, but the it's slipping me now. He's not a companion. He's something more than that. Something a little bit more, lack of a better way of putting it, intimate.
Really? I've not seen this terminology for him.
Not intimate. What is that? Not companion. Now I'm gonna be crazy. Why go crazy? Why haven't I should have looked this up before we jumped in here.
I felt like they were pronouncing his name a little differently this time. It was a more pronounced like Nardole.
Yeah, that's one thing that immediately jumped out to me. I think we've been saying his name incorrectly this entire time. Either that or they just changed it up on us. Nardole?
Because we've been calling him Nardole.
Yeah, Nardole.
Like real American-like.
that's probably totally what it is. We put our own American spin on his name when in fact it should be like Nardole as opposed to Dole.
It's like Nardole. I don't know. But but he was pretty cool. We have some things to talk about. Christmas special just aired a couple days ago as we record this. We're right in between the Christmas holiday and the New Year's holiday. And we decided we're going to do an episode of Bad Wolf Radio. We got an episode to talk about. It's been a while.
Yeah, I mean, a legitimate episode, not just teasers, not just trailers, not just rumors. We got a full hour-long episode.
Yeah, like hour. Yeah, if you're talking about even minus commercials, it was an hour, right?
Yeah,
so it was like an hour and a half with commercials.
Yeah, when I look at my iTunes episode, it clocks in at 1 hour.
Nice. So we will get to the Christmas special, the return of Dr. Mysterio, and our thoughts on that. But there is one little snippet of news that I thought was worth mentioning. They did, kind of right before the Christmas special aired, they did release a nice season 10 teaser that was about a minute long and had all new clips and dialogue and cool stuff that we're going to see in season 10. And me personally, it was much needed to, you know, I know we last episode went through kind of everything we know so far about season 10. There was some, you know, kind of set pictures and there was some information that had leaked, but this is the first like big hint at what we're going to see from season 10. And I got pretty excited.
Yeah, I'm with you. They released it before the Christmas special, and then they tacked it at the end of the Christmas special as well, which is, I think, like one of the very few times that they gave a coming soon at the end of a Christmas special. It gets you excited.
Yeah, and we still have to wait until April, but at least we kind of see what's coming. Hopefully there'll be more stuff they release to kind of tease it even more before season 10 comes out.
And April doesn't seem all that far away now. It might just be me, but I have a sneaking suspicion now that we've seen the Christmas special, April's going to be here before we know it.
Yeah, it's, you know, only 4 months. We've waited this long, right?
Yeah, we've waited a long time. The last episode we got was the previous Christmas special.
Yeah, so we waited a year for new Doctor Who. So what's 4 months to a Doctor Who fan?
Right. We're long-winded.
What were some things that popped out to you in the trailer? I know there were some things that caught my eye or ears. Things that they said, things that I saw. What were a couple things that popped out to you?
This is going to be the most obvious, but Bill asks a lot of questions and everything is totally new to her, which is absolutely refreshing. That it's not the companion who knows everything. It's not the companion that is fully engrossed in what the doctor faces. Everything is new and I like it. We're getting a fresh start.
Yeah, the companion seems different than like we got the little intro to Bill where she's, with the doctor and they're running around these hallways and there's Daleks involved, if I remember correctly. And so I remember just based on purely on that, I was like, oh, she kind of reminds me of Rose a little bit. And then I saw her at New York Comic Con, the actress. I saw Pearl Mackie there with Peter Capaldi and just being interviewed and things like that. And in that setting, her personality really reminded me of Martha. And now, after watching this teaser, it reminds me of Donna. So I'm like all over the map on what I think she's going to be like. But yeah, with all the questions and kind of that type of a personality, even just some of the heaviness of her accent, it reminds me of Donna.
Yeah, I have a feeling that she's going to be essentially her own character. I don't think we're gonna have such a sardonic approach to the companion as what Donna gave us, where she was just cynical and she would kind of just poke at the doctor. I have a feeling we're gonna get slightly different than Donna, but I can totally see where you're coming from. She didn't seem to be as enthralled with the doctor himself, but hey, we have a totally different doctor than what Martha and Rose both experienced. So that might play into it.
So you're saying if it was David Tennant, then it would be a different story.
I mean, truth be told, if it was David Tennant, both you and I would be a little bit more Martha than we were Donna.
That's fair. But so she's a different type, even in kind of, well, I don't know, I guess kind of Rose was more blue collar type person. We get the first thing she says about herself in the little teaser here is, "I serve chips." You
Yes,
know, she works
which
at a
I loved.
cafeteria.
Yeah.
So she's not going to be, kind of this, this type. She's not going to be like a Clara, I don't think. Clara was very, in my mind, almost an intellectual type. I don't think
Right.
we're getting that vibe from Bill.
Yeah, I would agree. She definitely seems to be a little bit, I don't know, like you said, Clara was a little bit higher class. I don't know, nanny style. Again, a nanny. Yeah, a Mary Poppins type. And yet Pearl Bill seems to be a little bit more down to earth, a little bit more working class, a little bit more in the trenches of what everyday life holds when you do life normally.
When she sees the TARDIS, she says, "It looks like a kitchen," which
Right.
I kind of was confused by the comment on that, but
I mean, if she's used to, I mean, she serves chips. She's used to what a kitchen looks like. There's all sorts of levers and all sorts of other stuff going on.
true.
Very stainless steel.
And I don't know if there must be some connection to maybe the college she attends with the doctor, because she says he's a lecturer. There's almost a scene where she's kind of talking to him like he's a teacher.
Right.
At a university.
Yeah, I'm curious just, I mean, even kind of with the Christmas special in mind, what we just watched, he shows up as a relief algebra teacher at one point in time. Yeah, he seems to be a little bit more of a nomad at this point, kind of popping in and just doing random odd things. I guess it beats when he was a groundskeeper at Coal Hill, so maybe he's moving up. He's now teaching.
I don't know. There were, I guess, a lot of the things that we talked about in our rundown of what we know so far popped up in this teaser. You have the emoji-faced robots pop up briefly. They don't look quite as ridiculous as I was imagining, but still kind of look
No.
ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely have the 80s style robot face. where it's just like the black lines make up the face, but it definitely is more of an emoji face. And Doctor Who does this a lot with their trailers. It seemed very apocalyptic the entire time. You have the random screaming, which that's a pretty blood-curdling scream that they tossed in the trailer. And then you have the spacesuits, people in spacesuits, and the Doctor saying he's crazy, a very fast-paced just run. And you have Daleks. Daleks will be back.
Yes, the spacesuits I thought were pretty cool looking.
Yeah, more steampunkish than orange jumpsuits that we've had in the past.
They still kind of have that orange tone, but it's almost like a burnt orange, a little more modern looking, not so in your face as what we've seen some previous Doctors wear. Or even Capaldi, I think, has donned the spacesuit before.
Yeah, you might have blocked that episode out of your mind.
But yeah, some really good lines. I forget, there was one line in there, something about I'm going to save all of you and then you're going to spend the rest of your lives thinking about it or something like that. I thought it was
you're going to spend the rest of your lives wondering who I was.
Right. Yeah. So just some classic Doctor Who, what you would expect, all wrapped up into that nice 60-second teaser, which I really liked what I saw so far and pretty excited about season 10 coming up.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's if they give us a fast-paced, just crazy, crazy series, it's going to be good. And I'm holding out all hope that that is exactly what Moffat gives us. One last final shot. He doesn't need to think 2 years down the road where he wants the story to go. He only has to focus on this one series. And I hope he packs it full of just crazy, fun times.
Yes. Moving on to the Christmas special. Moffat wrote that, right?
That's a great question. Yeah, writer. Stephen Moffat, director Ed Belzelgetty Bagel, and producer Peter Bennett. Yeah, Bazelgett. There you go.
So, yes, speaking of Stephen Moffat and his ability to write a good story, jumping right into this Christmas special, man, he is such a good writer. There were so many elements to this story that, you know, were self-referential to the Doctor Who series in general, that I was really impressed with the writing. Things that I didn't catch the first time, I caught the second time. This was one that I was really nervous about going in based on, and I know we had talked about it. We were pretty negative on our thoughts on what this episode could be like. And it surprised me. It was a lot different than I expected.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time processing it as a whole. Like you said, we had really, really low expectations for this Christmas special. And the fact that I enjoyed it, I'm trying to decide if that's because I had such low expectations or if it seriously was a really good episode. And then somewhere in between there, I can't help but see the aspects of it where it was so tongue-in-cheek. It's like they wanted it to be slightly campy the entire time, but it was still really, really well done. I enjoyed it at the end of it. Rewatching it, it's even better when you rewatch it. But yeah, it's interesting just because we had such low expectations and it seems like it's surpassed those dramatically.
Yeah, I think it could be a combination of the low expectations and the fact that we haven't had a Doctor Who episode in a year, that we were just ready to like anything they gave us. Maybe that was part of their strategy.
It's part of their strategy. But like even rewatching it, you just – the goofy aspects where it's just like, okay, seriously, like when he's walking and he's taking gunshots to the chest and he seriously – it was in the teaser or the trailer for this episode or the short clip they showed of this episode where he's like – sticking out his chest as he walks, deflecting the bullets. That's just so weird and goofy, and it just looks so out of place. But yet, in the whole framework of the episode and how he interacts as a superhero with the reporter, it's like, okay, it fits. It's kind of like this goofy homage to superhero, classic superhero comics and TV shows.
So I'm going to read the really quick synopsis here just to kind of get us rolling here. But it says,
go for it.
One Christmas, young Grant meets a stranger calling himself the Doctor, who he names Dr. Mysterio. However, due to a blunder on Grant's part, he eats part of a device the Doctor needed, gaining superpowers. After keeping the promise to the Doctor not to use his powers for over 20 years, Grant soon finds that the world has a need for them. So that's basically it, and we kind of called it. In our speculation about this episode, based on the little things that we saw, we were both kind of just like, it seems like they're tipping their hand on what the story's all about. The Doctor is going to meet this kid. It's going to be Christmas Day. Something's going to happen. The Doctor accidentally gives the kid superpowers. That's what happened.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was on the nose. And it's one of those ones where I don't think they were trying to hide that at all. And yet, I love.
Oh, I was so proud of myself for figuring out. You're telling me they were telegraphing it on purpose?
I don't think it was. I mean, it's Doctor Who. They rarely hide anything. Honestly, if we were to go back and watch that trailer for the next series, we probably know exactly what's going to happen at the very end. But everything leading up to the title sequence in my mind was pure gold. I loved that first, I don't know, 4 or 5 minutes of the episode where he interacts with Grant for the first time. And sure, it's the only reference whatsoever to it being a Christmas special. The Doctor saying ho, ho, ho is like, okay, this is a Christmas special. Now let's move past that. I don't think it's referenced at all any other point in time. But yet that entire time is just so good. So good.
Yeah. Hats off to the actor who played young Grant. I thought that kid did a really good job. Logan Hoffman is the actor's name, because I have a cast list right here in front of me. But yeah, the kid did a great job just kind of going back and forth with the Doctor. We've seen that before in Doctor Who. He, you know, has interaction with a lot of young kids. And this is one of the better ones, I thought, that they've done, as far as the young actor being able to keep up with Capaldi.
Yeah, and it definitely helps the way that they kind of portrayed the kid. Just one of those, I don't know, he's a really, the character isn't flat, but his personality doesn't have like all these highs and lows. He's just like, yeah, it looks cheap.
Yeah, kind of like
how
dry.
How can you not know that?
Yeah, a little bit of a dry humor, kind of socially awkward, but not in a quirky way, if you know what I mean, yeah. Which fits the personality of this, you know, kind of seemingly shy character, the Clark Kent type that, you know, has to don the Superman guise. I thought it was really well done. And as soon as he handed the kid the water and the thing, I'm like, you knew exactly what was going to happen.
Like, I didn't, no. To be honest, I had no idea. And so when the whole exchange takes place between the Doctor saying, okay, give me the gemstone, and the kid's like, that was a gem, and then the exchange, and then the kid's explanation, Grant's explanation of, you said you were a doctor, you gave me water, and you gave me something that looked like medicine. It's like, that's brilliant. Like, I would have never, well, that's why I don't write Doctor Who. I would have never gone there, but it worked out just perfectly. I loved that part of it.
Yeah, and okay, so I'm wondering if you thought about this, but the parallels to what happens here with Grant and to what happens with Lady Me, I thought was very interesting.
That I didn't make that connection, but I can absolutely see where you're going there.
Yes, so you have two different situations where the Doctor, you know, based on something that he does to someone, gives them powers they shouldn't have. This was a much more lighthearted and positive version of that, whereas obviously Lady Me was a much darker, you know, bad ending to that. But it's a very similar situation. We've seen it before, and recently we've seen it where the Doctor kind of intervenes in a situation, in this being kind of by accident, but still, you probably shouldn't have handed something that's a very powerful gemstone that's one of four in the entire universe to an 8-year-old child.
You know, how old are you? 36?
So really, it's the Doctor's blunder. You know, it's not the kid's fault. So, you know, it's an interesting parallel, I thought, to see two very similar situations and one going one direction and one going completely the other direction. It was almost like Moffat was like, okay, that's what, you know, that's when it can go bad, but here's when it goes good, you know. And I don't know if that was intentional or just Moffat just thought it was a good story to tell again.
Yeah, I would have never made that connection. I was just looking to see what that, because the gym was an intuitive gym, and for some reason I could have sworn that we came across that usage of like intuitive before. So I was just wondering if hers was an intuitive chip that she got implanted with, but I can't find any reference to that. But anyways, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's we have one instance where it goes horribly wrong, and then another instance where it goes right, at least up to this point. I wonder if it does make him immortal, or if he, well, he ages, but I wonder, yeah, I don't know. Interesting.
But so, fun fact, Dr. Mysterio is actually what Doctor Who is called in Mexico.
I did spot that. I
Yeah,
did spot
I
that.
thought that was interesting. I came across that and I was like, oh, apparently, when Moffat and Capaldi were traveling for their world tour, they came across this fact that it was called Dr. Mysterio and Moffat adopted that to the name of this episode. So,
It's
in Mexico, the Christmas special's title is probably a little confusing to them.
the return of Doctor Who. I mean,
They're like,
technically,
wait.
we get to the end of the episode, and it is the return of the Doctor.
Yes. So yeah, we get this guy Grant, and he basically tells the doctor. The doctor accidentally gives him, you know, these powers, this gemstone that he swallows, which reads his wants, I guess, and gives him what he wants, which he wants to be a superhero because he's all into superheroes. Oh, can I say though, by the way, bravo to BBC for actually getting the like rights to use the DC and Marvel superheroes in this.
Heck yes.
I was
Heck
very
yes.
impressed because a lot of times a show like this would just take the easy way out and do some kind of you know, cheap knockoff version of a comic book.
Yeah,
But the fact that they actually showed a Superman comic and he talked about Spider-Man and you see Wolverine on the wall on the back, I thought that was really cool. I'm glad they forked out whatever money they had to pay Marvel and DC to include the real superheroes. I thought it added a lot.
I'm right there with you. The fact that you can see like his wallpaper or part of his wallpaper in Grant's room is Thor. Like those different aspects to me, that's aces. And that licensing, I don't know, especially with Marvel, it probably had to be ridiculous to try to get that. Maybe it's different because it's the BBC. But yeah, props to
Yes, and I love the conversation about Spider-Man. I thought that was very funny when he was talking
that.
about he got bitten by a radioactive spider.
Why do they call him Spider-Man? Don't they like him?
Don't they like him? He's like, oh yeah, and then guess what happened? He's like, I don't know, vomiting.
Those conversations, even the foreshadowing when he's looking at the Superman comic and he's like, "Hey, just pay close attention. It takes a second for you to notice it. Look at this one. No, look at Clark Kent. And I drew glasses on Superman." Like the foreshadowing of Lois Lane being a smart reporter, and she didn't even notice that Superman and Clark Kent are the same. And yet, at the end of the episode, we kind of have a similar situation.
Right, yeah, definitely. Now, the ghost did have kind of a mask that he wore as the ghost, and so it wasn't just his entire face showing like Superman, but still, very much obvious that it was the same
Very,
guy.
very smart reporter. Very smart
Yeah.
reporter.
So, but yeah, so you have Grant. He tells the doctor he won't use the powers when he's 8, but you know, ends up using the powers as an adult to kind of be the hero of New York City.
Yeah. Which another fun fact, according to the TARDIS Wikia, New York City was actually Bulgaria.
Oh, really? They filmed in Bulgaria?
It was a studio in Bulgaria, supposedly. Oh no, it wasn't the TARDIS Wikia. I take that back. It was BBC America's 10 things you didn't know about this episode.
Wow, that's interesting. I mean, I know they've filmed in New York before, and it's a common location that the doctor likes to visit. So I guess they didn't want to fork out whatever that they spent too much getting the rights to use the name Superman in Spider-Man to actually travel and film in New York. They did a good job. I believed it was New York. I mean, they definitely gave it this sheen where it felt like comic book colors, and even from the very first scene, as soon as the show starts up, and like just the way that the lights in the street are and stuff, it doesn't look like a normal episode of Doctor Who. It looks like they're stylizing it in a way to look different, and I thought that was pretty cool.
Nope, agreed. Agreed.
So yes, we have Grant, but then we have Lucy, who is the reporter, and let's go to the part where we're introduced to this big corporation.
Okay.
I thought that was pretty interesting to bring back the idea of these aliens that kind of have the split face that they pull their head back. You know, we got that briefly. They almost seemed like, I don't even know, the episode with River Song, it almost seemed like that was just some thug and he just kind of happened to have this kind of weird thing he could do, but they turned it into this entire alien race that's actually invading Earth. So that was a interesting connection. And I know we kind of picked it out when we were talking about it last episode, but they were a major focus.
Props to you because I think I just suggested, hey, wouldn't it be interesting if they were the same? And you're like, oh no, they definitely will be. They have the same scar and everything. I went back and watched the husbands of River Song, just those scenes that involve them, and it was really interesting because you have the huge corporation in this episode called Harmony Shoal. You go back to the husbands of River Song, and the main guy, I think his name was Scratch, introduces himself as the or as being a someone from the Shoal of Winter's Harmony. So it's like you have that tie together right there, and it ties back to King Hydroflex because they were servants of King Hydroflex. And then you have Nardole, who was put back together. Nardole, there we go.
Nardole.
Who was put back together? It was. I mean, these are consecutive episodes, and we get even more of that towards the end, where there's the explanation of the doctor being gone. So they come one right after the other, and just to have that character tied between. And I don't think we're even done with them yet. I mean, they get away at the end.
Yeah, definitely. It did seem like they were leaving it open to there being a return of the aliens or even a return of the ghost. You know, they definitely left that door open. I don't know if they'll go there anytime soon, but we could see these characters again. I will say that the peeling back of the head was very unnerving to watch over and over. I'm like, isn't there a better place you can keep that gun? I mean, you just put it in the back of your belt, man.
I mean, no one's gonna scan there. I am really concerned because they are confused because they made a big they made the brains a big thing with like the eyes in the brains and all this other stuff. And yet when they peel back their head,
There's no
there
brain in
is no brain there. So I
there.
have no idea what the brains have to do with them. I don't know if I missed something or if that's just one of those things that they just thought, whatever, we need them to be something to make them into the peeling back head things.
Yeah, I almost wonder if the brain, the way they look in the jar as a brain, is kind of them in a very compact form. And then when they like take over your body, they actually kind of spread throughout your body.
Yeah, like maybe wound up tendrils that when they get in
Yeah.
the body, they,
Because he
yeah,
was
that.
even saying, like, oh, how's your new vehicle? And he's like, it's a very tight fit. And he's like, oh, it'll stretch out as you use it or something. So, and yeah, you don't see any kind of a brain. They also said that when they said they replaced not only the person's brain, but also their central nervous system. So there's
You're
got to be
right.
more to it that it's kind of spreading throughout them. So, plus the eyes, too. Like when they show the guy at the end and he's missing his eyes. You know, that's more than just your brain. You know, that those eyes that you see pop out must stretch down into the eye sockets. So,
That's I'm sure they can retcon that at some other point in time.
oh, that's
Have it.
true. And like you said, I totally forgot that. Yeah, you're right. Not only did kind of the alien race survive, but they actually show one of the guys or one of the unit guys kind of walk away with a scar on his face, right? Okay, yeah. So, yeah, they're definitely hinting at more to come.
Unit has been infiltrated. Poor Osgood.
Oh yeah, they did mention Osgood too. Nice, that was a nice reference too. So yeah, a lot of good stuff throughout this episode, I thought. Let's see. So Lucy is undercover. We get the scene where we've already seen the scene where he's eating the sushi and talking to her. We had seen that previously. That was still one of the highlights of the episode, I thought.
Yeah, I'm an intruder snacks. Too. I brought snacks. The sign of a pro.
Sign of a pro. Yes. What a great line. So. Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked her a lot. I liked Lucy a lot. I thought the actress did a really good job. I could see her being a companion. Part of me was like, oh, she'd be kind of a cool companion to tag along maybe for a while. But what did you think about Lucy?
I think she got off to a rough start. Like, there's the part where they're walking back from the door after the doctor does the whole, like, eating sushi thing before they're held up and they have their backs turned. And the doctor asks her a question and she says something and then she's like, I don't know why I'm telling you the truth. That part was just such like an awkward timing of that delivery that I thought, oh man, she's going to just be terrible this entire episode. But then as the episode goes on, and even when it wasn't a Hufflepuff, Mr. Huffle. that squeezing.
Yeah. That was the one thing about the episode that kind of bothered me. But apparently that's a thing. Like, I didn't know if that was just a Doctor Who invention or if that was an actual thing. And I think that's a thing.
Apparently that's a thing. And as awkward as that was, she, like, her at that point was like, okay, she's taking control. She's doing it really well. I think I can take her at this point. And then from that point forward, she kind of rose above my initial thoughts of her. So I don't know if I would ever necessarily want to see her as a companion. But she definitely wasn't like a low point of the episode like I was expecting in that exchange that we had in the teaser.
Yeah, I liked her interrogation of the doctor.
Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
Yeah, that scene was funny because you're sitting there thinking, why is he even telling her anything? There's no reason for him to be intimidated by either her or this Mr. Huffle. But for whatever reason, it worked. And I guess he had things he just wanted to get off his chest. But I thought it was very funny that she kind of figured out a way to intimidate the doctor. And even her commentary on, you're not used to this. You're not used to somebody telling you or somebody treating you like this. And it's true. The doctor's not. He's used to being the smartest guy in the room. He's used to being in control of every situation. And to have somebody kind of call him out and stand up to him like that, I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Nope. That was the high point for her character for me. Yeah.
Yep. But Mr. Huffle was, and now the doctor is in possession of Mr. Huffle, apparently. I took it with him.
So hopefully, he just didn't want to see Mr. Huffle experience pain anymore at her hands.
Hopefully that doesn't mean.
He rescued someone else. Everybody else lives. Everybody lives.
Hopefully that doesn't mean that we will be getting a return of Mr. Huffle. I could do without that.
He's the new companion.
Yeah. See you later, Nardole. speaking of Nardole, we knew he was coming back. I think it's pretty clear now that he is going to be a part of the TARDIS crew throughout season 10, based on the teaser.
And I found the word that was used to describe him, and it was valet, not chauffeur, valet.
Oh, he's a valet.
Yeah, which I don't know, that puts a different spin on the relationship as opposed to like returning character or companion.
Like, oh, so kind of like Downton Abbey, like a valet.
Exactly.
He's a valet.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yes.
He's the one that puts the doctor's jacket on for him.
Yeah, and he takes care of him.
Takes care of stuff. Okay.
Which, again, at the end of the episode, he kind of says that, like, hey, I'm going to keep eyes on him.
And it's an interesting way to go about a companion, because we've never really seen that type of companion before.
Right.
You know, which would be probably a bad thing if they had a female character that treated the doctor like that, because that would almost be like some sort of servitude, or, you know, they have to be subservient to the doctor.
Right.
But
right.
The fact that it's a man, I think, works better. That, you know, it's his kind of manservant, which in, you know, something like Downton Abbey was a very common thing at a time in England. So, I like the dynamic. And it's not, the doctor doesn't treat him bad, you know, doesn't treat him that way like a servant. But there is, you know, a deference to the doctor. And Nardole is more than happy to help take care of him.
Yeah, and Nardole's, he's really gracious in how he goes about it, but he challenges the doctor, and it seems like even up to this point, he already knows. I mean, there were statements made that he made during the episode, like, yeah, you always do this when you start to, I forget the exact phrasing of it, but essentially the doctor was starting to go through or think through things that have happened previously that I'm sure we'll talk about. And Nardole's like, you always do this when this comes up. And like, he knows the inner workings of the doctor already.
Yeah,
And he
like
wants the doctor to work through it.
when he's uncomfortable and doesn't want to talk about his feelings, he goes and saves the world,
Yeah,
basically. That's
exactly. There
yeah.
you go. There you
It was
go.
pretty
That's
much
the
what
ones.
happened there. I thought, yeah, Nardole has a couple great moments where I love the line that we had already heard before, but how he says, New York's not a capital city. You know, he's just calling the doctor out on not being right about something,
Yeah.
which I thought was really funny. And then you have the line later on where the doctor's upset that Grant didn't keep his promise to not use his powers. And then Nardole's kind of like, oh, kind of like the Time Lords aren't supposed to intervene in like, other planets' affairs or whatever. And the
Yeah.
doctor's like, hey, I saved you, quit, you need to watch how you talk to me.
I put you back together. No, I didn't put you back together for this.
Yes, exactly. So I love the dynamic of these two characters, and Nardole is a great holdover until we get Bill, but it seems like they're going to kind of be there together with the doctor, so it'll be interesting to see this dynamic between the three characters.
Yeah, he definitely shows up a lot more in the teaser than what I was even anticipating. So I'm again, if we can have that dynamic where he's there for the doctor, but he's not just there to kind of kowtow to whatever the doctor needs, but he's going to be that gracious challenge to the doctor moving forward. And not one that challenges his conscience, but one that, I don't know, helps us to understand a little bit more about Capaldi's doctor and his inner workings after experiencing so much loss, even with Bill's new wonder, I'm all for it. I'm excited for to see that character.
So, other thoughts on the episode? Anything else pop out to you? I'm trying to think of kind of what would be a good place to go next.
Yeah, man.
A lot happens. I mean, we have this alien group that's coming to invade, and they have these buildings, I guess, in all these capital cities that are basically indestructible.
Right.
And so they feel like, okay, if we have this alien invasion happen that we are setting up, kind of like a Darth Sidious situation, right? He's causing what he wants to happen. But yeah, so they're setting up this.
Oh man. Nice job. I applaud. I applaud.
The reach for the Star Wars reference.
The reach
But
for the Star Wars reference.
it's true though. They're making it happen. But yeah, so they're defending against their own alien invasion.
Yeah, they have a fully functioning battle station just ready to go.
Yeah, so they think by doing this, they're going to have the most rich and powerful people flock to them, and then they will replace the rich and powerful people with their own selves to take over the world.
Yep.
So yeah, it's a and the doctor even says it's a good plan. I like it,
I wish my side had these plans.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a pretty interesting idea for an alien invasion. And I liked his line where he talked about on Christmas, he either usually gets a cold or an
Oh yeah,
invasion.
or an invasion.
Yeah,
Yeah,
which
when he's
we
talking to
have
Grant.
the ever popular episode, the Christmas invasion. So
Right.
it does happen.
No, and the doctor had a couple moments that I was hoping that it would get a little bit more emphatic, where he's basically talking about how, I mean, he's standing between Mr. Brock and then the scientist guy, his name is slipping me, the original split head guy. But he's talking about how all these people have always tried this and they've always failed because of him. I thought it was going to be one of those inspirational 11th hour moments, and it kind of fell flat, but it was still one of those like good doctor speeches,
Yeah,
where he's always the plan, he's always the backup.
I'm completely with you on that. I feel like there was a missed moment there where
Yeah.
you're waiting for that 11th hour moment where he's like, I'm the doctor, so pretty much run.
Right.
And he kind of goes halfway there, but he never really sells it. And
Yeah.
he's almost nervous as he's saying it, whereas Smith is like triumphantly walking forward.
Yeah, he's putting his hands up, backwards.
Walking backwards. You know, that's a difference, I guess, maybe between 11 and 12. But yeah, he didn't quite go there, and I kind of wanted him to.
No, I wanted one of those epic speeches, and I think if we would have gotten one of those epic speeches, I would have been so fired up at that moment. I would have been so much more fired up about this episode. If it was possible to be even more excited about this episode, that would have gotten me there. And then there's another moment where he's on the spaceship, because that's the plan. Spaceship's going to crash into New York. New York's going to explode. That building's going to stand perfectly okay. And then that's going to be the sign, hey, we need to all go to these buildings around the world. Well, when the Doctor and Nardal are on the spaceship and the screen's behind him, and he makes that comment about, oh, I love you. You always get the good plans. Why can't my side have these plans? And then he makes the comment that the plan is always him. That would have been another one of those moments where he could have just given one of these epic speeches, epic doctor speeches, and it would have been incredible. Instead, he resorts to pressing all the buttons and flipping all the switches, which was still a fun moment, but it was a little bit more on the crazy side, not so much the heroic, incredible side.
I did feel like the best doctor dialogue came at the end of the episode. Kind of explaining, you know, what happened, and you know, she's like, it's not, well, I forget how she worded it, basically. Like, she's like, it's not what happened, like who? Like, who was it? Or what's her name? I forget how she worded it.
Yes.
And the doctor he gives a cool little speech there. I really liked, and I wish I had looked up the exact dialogue. But I like where he says, you just be happy, I'll take care of the rest.
Right. You know, because at that moment, we find out that, well, it was mentioned earlier in the episode, but this really drives it home, that he's been missing for 24 years. He hasn't been protecting the Earth for 24 years, but now he's back. And that's what brings up that dialogue of you just be happy, which... Again, the end of the Christmas special, Husbands of Riversong, the whole idea of happily ever after. And he says, y'all just be happy. I'll take care of the rest.
Right. I like that. I thought that was a cool line. I like that quote. But the 24-year thing, that's when you're a Time Lord, does that really mean anything? Couldn't he have just come back at the beginning of when he left?
I guess he could have. I mean, there's the whole part about one thing that I've read a couple places is the idea of the time distortions in New York that was caused by Amy and Rory. Thus, he was setting up that contraption on Grant's roof to fix the time distortions. And then Grant swallows the gym, so he can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
But like all those things about New York, and can he go back in time in New York? Is it possible? Which might explain the 24-year gap that was there, that he's been absent.
He was hanging out with River for the 24-year night, and then they together were trying to formulate a plan to go fix New York, maybe?
That would be brilliant, right?
Right.
Those are her parents. Why not spend that time figuring out how to save your parents? But again, that amazing tie-in with the Husbands of Riversong, where Riversong says, assuming tonight is all we have left, how long is a night on Drillium? And the doctor says 24 years. And then, boom, we find out he's been missing for 24 years. It's just, I don't know. They did a really good job in my mind of not only like pulling in the most recent episode, which was a year ago. And then I feel like setting the stage for what comes next. Such a good job.
Yes.
Well done, Peter Moffat.
Yes.
As much gruff as we give you, and I know you listen to this every single time we put out an episode, well done, sir. Well done.
I know you meant Stephen Moffat.
What did I say, Peter?
You said Peter.
Who's Peter Moffat?
I think you've done that before. Or maybe you called him, I think you called Capaldi Stephen Capaldi once. So just.
Who's Peter Moffat? I know there's a Peter Moffat.
I don't know.
He's a British playwright. I mean, they're all the same, right?
Maybe, yeah. Yeah, good writers, those Moffats.
Those Moffats.
But,
For some reason, I thought it was a hobbit. I thought Peter Moffat was a hobbit for some reason.
So Grant turns out to be a nanny. So we get the kind of back and forth where, you know, it's a kind of a similar situation with, you know, typical superheroes where they have to have their day job, but then they have to hide from their loved ones so they don't put people in danger. The twist that he was actually the nanny of the reporter was something I did not see coming, and I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I agree with you. I thought that caught me out of the blue, especially that scene where the doctor says, "How complicated do you need it to be?" And he's like, "Well, not as complicated as it's about to get." And then she walks through the door. I was like, and my wife was like, "I saw that coming." It's like, how? I was amazed. It was incredible. Well done.
But I liked Justin Chatwin a lot more than I thought I was going to. I don't know why, based on just the little teaser clip we got where he's the superhero and he's already in the outfit and he's kind of acting like a superhero. I was just like, the acting doesn't seem great. But I feel like his true personality came out when he played Grant. And I actually really liked how he did that. So I liked him. He was a good choice for the role.
Yeah. I mean, two things. Number one, I don't know how much of just like the weird goofiness was intended, where something just felt fake the entire time. And I'm wondering if that's how it was intended to be. It was just supposed to be that campy superhero feel to it. So that's one way I justify in my mind some of that weirdness that I saw in the trailer. Number two, the guy had a killer Batman voice.
He did. You know what he sounds like? He sounds like Lego Batman. Which is a better Batman voice than Christian Bale Batman.
Yeah, okay. Will Arnett, right?
Yes, Will Arnett does Lego Batman and does he has a great Batman voice, but it's gravelly but yet understandable. Whereas the Christian Bale always got me. Yeah, I hated that. Affleck does all right too. So
we're still too soon for that one.
Yeah,
we're passing judgment on that Batman.
Yeah, that's still yet to be seen how that franchise does. But
that's a future podcast.
But yeah, I agree. He did a good superhero voice.
I'm just jumping all around. I'm sorry. One of my favorite things was where they're talking on the rooftop, him and Lucy, and it's during his interview, and he takes off his mask, and she starts talking, and he's like, "Maybe now would be a good time for you to look up." And then she talks about how Grant has never lied to her, and then he puts his mask back on. Yeah. I don't know. Something about that scene was just like,
well, they kind of like
it was just good to me.
They drag it out where you're like, is she gonna see his face? And then like, and he has his mask off, but then she turns and he has it back on real fast. So yeah, they did well with that as well.
Yeah,
but yeah, overall, I actually really liked this episode. I thought it was very well done. There were a couple things in it that were a little, overly cheesy, but for the most part, really fun episode. We got some great lines from the doctor, some great, dialogue between him and Nardole. So yeah, surprisingly, this was a good one.
Yeah, I'm with you, honestly. Talking to my wife about it, who's really the only other person I talked to Doctor Who about at this point in time, I wasn't as positive. But you know what? As soon as we started recording and I started talking to you about it, this episode has increased tenfold in my mind.
Oh, you were coming in critical.
I know, I was. I.
What was it? What were some of the things that I guess you kind of pointed out some odd acting choices?
Yeah, just some weird scenes with all the actors, just kind of that goofy campiness that I mentioned of the superhero. I loved the first part leading up to the title sequence, and I loved the ending. And there were a few things in between that I enjoyed. The idea of like distracting people with Pokemon.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
That was hilarious. I laughed out loud at that point in time. Possibly a little stereotypical.
It was in Tokyo, right?
Yeah, but I mean, still, I mean, it's recent news events over this past summer. I thought it was gold. And there were just like so many high moments that now that I'm talking about it and now that I'm processing it audibly, I really like this episode. I think it might be one of my favorite Christmas specials. I've gone back and watched a couple over the past weeks. And
what were a couple that you watched recently?
The Christmas Carol, okay.
Still good, still holds up.
It still holds up, not as positive as I thought.
Okay.
But it still holds up. Snowmen, good one with Clara. And that one definitely is more of a Christmas special of its time. There's so many key essential elements that play into stories that follow, that I think it's a little bit harder to watch that one in a vacuum. But you do have the potato one, which is awesome. And then the Husbands of Riversong last seasons, which that one I think is more positive the more I watch it. There were just moments watching the interaction between the Doctor and Riversong. I was just like, oh man, this is gonna make me cry.
I think
But yeah, any.
the Christmas specials in general, the more I think back over the recent ones, they've all been pretty good. The only one I just did not like at all was the whatever the one about the
The doctor, the
doctor,
kids in the wardrobe.
yeah, the wardrobe one with the wooden people and stuff.
Yeah.
That one just fell flat for me. But beyond that, when I think back on even the Santa Claus one I liked,
That one, I think that one is a solid one in my mind.
and I kind of re I didn't rewatch the whole thing, but I rewatched a lot of it because they were kind of going through the Christmas specials on BBC America. So I watched a lot of that and found myself really laughing at it a lot. Yeah, this one would definitely be in that same, vein for me, that it was an enjoyable, entertaining episode to watch. It felt very much like a standalone special. It didn't feel, although it did tie into the last episode we saw, it didn't feel like it tied into kind of all the other big events that have been happening, like with Gallifrey and Clara and the fact that he's forgotten Clara and all that. Almost like none of that happened.
Yeah, I'm cool with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that too. I feel like the Christmas special should kind of stand alone. Oh, I know the other Christmas special I didn't like. And this one should be obvious, is the Doctor's regeneration. The Night of the Doctor. That was it called The Night of the Doctor? Not a fan, but one that I did recently rewatch that is a different special altogether was the 50th anniversary, and I hate to say that one doesn't hold up for me as well as I thought it was going to.
That was our first podcast, right?
That was when we kicked off this podcast, and I know we were both super hyped about, David Tennant and Smith being in the same episode, the War Doctor, all this stuff, but going back and rewatching it. It was not as good as I had remembered. Although I will say the ending scene with Tom Baker
Is
is
it
gold. It's
not as
so
good
good.
because the episodes that have come since have been better? Or is it not as good just because it's not as good?
It just felt very forced. Like a lot of the humor between the doctors, a lot of it's just kind of, talking about the Fez and the Sonic. Comparing Sonic size, and I don't know, there was just a lot of the jokes that were just like almost too inside. And I remember loving it when I watched it the first time because I was just super excited for Tennant to be back. But upon rewatching it, it was just it did feel a bit forced.
Future podcast, rewatch and
Oh, a rewatch of
re-review.
that maybe? Yeah,
I haven't
I'd be
watched
up
it in
for
a
that.
while.
We go we It has been a while since since that was our first episode ever that we recorded. So that would be fun to maybe revisit some of these episodes since it's been a while since we've talked about them. Yeah, I think this sets the stage for a really good season 10. I think Nardole is a nice addition. So I'm glad we got to kind of see how he's gonna be in this. And then I'm assuming the very first episode of season 10, we're gonna get the introduction of Bill. So I liked what I saw here. I'm excited for what's coming up, and I know it's still 4 months away, but I feel like a little re-energized in my Doctor Who fandom, because I know we were both kind of talking about how it's been tough lately, and that there's not a lot to talk about because there's not a lot going on in Doctor Who. I feel my batteries have charged up a little bit.
I'm absolutely there with you. Absolutely agree. That like I mentioned, April, 4 months doesn't seem as long, as far away as it once did. This episode definitely gets me excited to see what Moffat has in store for the coming series. I love the way that they kind of portrayed the Doctor this go round. I'm excited to see them explore it a little bit more with Nardole. Nardole, however we pronounce it moving forward. I'm excited to see how they explore that relationship. Bill looks pretty good based on the teaser. And yeah, it's I like the setup. I like the state of the doctor as it is right now. It was a good Christmas special. Good
We've
Christmas
talked
special.
about how the doctor, when he was first introduced, he was like this grumpy old man that kind of laughed when people died. And we talked about in his second season where they brought in some levity to the character. He's got the electric guitar, he's got the sunglasses, he's kind of softening up a bit. I feel like we've gotten all the way to the point where he's kind of that doctor now. Like he's not that mean, grouchy old man anymore. He's the nice old man that's hanging out on the rooftop with this kid.
This are we actually talking character growth for the doctor?
Yeah, I think he's come a long way. And I think that was the big gripe when he first started out, that everybody was so like, oh, this isn't the doctor. He's mean and he's da da da. And I think that they were just, they were giving us a character that had a lot of room to grow. And we've seen that grow or that growth. And, I'm liking this. I don't want him to get full on like Matt Smith goofy. He's got some Matt Smith moments, but I don't want it to go all the way there. He should still be different, but I like that he's lightened up a lot and there's a lot more humor with him now. Not mean-spirited humor, but just straight up humor. With the snacks and like he had the hamburger with him and he kind of tried to make it seem like it was a bigger deal than it really was. Like things like that. Those are gags that they never really would have done. Season one with Capaldi.
Yeah, I mean we say that, and I'm with you 100%. I mean, he pulls out a cup of water from his coat, and the kid says, "How do you keep a cup of water in his coat?" And he says, "Skills." Like,
I thought that was a cool reference to the whole like, hey, I have tea and nobody, like just deal with it. It
and
was this, I feel like that was a purposeful reference.
Yeah, I'm with you. But this is also the doctor, his first season, who pulls out a spoon for a sword fight. Like, he's always had
True, true.
these quirks to him, but I also am with you that there has been some major changes. And although he forgot about Clara, which seems like it would be the biggest change, I love the fact that everything, his character now is based on losing River Song, which is a reference to the library, which they even brought up that she died in the library a long time ago. I love that they mentioned that this Christmas special, Silence in the Library. But the fact that his character is now based on the loss of Riversong, who, although I have my own issues with her character, should have a huge part in his life, should have a huge impact on his character. The fact that that has now mellowed him, has changed him, and not so much a product of Clara. I'm all for this doctor. I'm ready to see what happens.
I almost wonder if fans of Clara are not happy with this. The kind of how he should be mourning the loss of Clara, but instead he's mourning the loss of River.
And to that, I say it was Clara's choice. Clara made him make that choice, and it's Clara's fault he's forgotten her. It was Clara's own personality that put her in this position of no longer even mattering.
And she still needs to face the Raven.
And she still needs to face the Raven in that TARDIS.
She's so selfish.
Ah, Clara, Clara, Clara.
Clara.
If only she had
But
Annie Pink to put her on the straight and narrow.
oh, there was a Danny Pink reference. I was watching the Santa Claus episode, and he says something about Danny Pink dying, and she's like, "Don't you dare. Like, don't go there. It's too soon." I was like, "Oh yeah, Danny Pink. I forgot about that guy."
Oh yeah, Danny Pink. He's gonna show back up, you know it. He's gonna be in unit. He's gonna
At
do a
this
bunch
point,
of
I'd be cool with it.
split face guys.
Ha. Have him show up as one of the Daleks, inside one of the
Oh
Daleks.
dang, that'd be full circle, wouldn't it?
Full circle.
He's just gonna show up as every villain that has ever appeared in Doctor Who. He was a Cyberman. He's gonna be a Dalek. They're gonna have him as a weeping angel. He's just gonna be everywhere.
And his superpowers, he can just flip over top of things really cool.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna be Clara. Clara was like the good Danny Pink. Clara showed up all through the Doctor's timeline. Danny Pink is gonna show up through all the Doctor's timeline as a different villain
How
next
did we
time.
get on Danny Pink?
I
This
have
is
no idea.
we
I
I
am
thought we had
sorry.
retired the 5 minutes of Danny Pink segment.
I am sorry.
And with that, we shall end this episode. We have 4 months to burn until the next episode of Doctor Who, so we'll have to come up with some content to talk about. There is this little series going on right now on BBC America called The Power of the Daleks that I didn't realize was actually a series. I thought it was just a one-shot thing.
No, it is long.
So maybe we need to start watching those and maybe talk about some Second Doctor stuff, because that's where we were anyways when we left off on the classics. So maybe that's coming up.
It is. It's quite a price tag, if I remember correctly.
To get the whole season?
No, you know what? It's $20.
Ah, Merry Christmas.
Merry freaking Christmas.
I'll buy it for you if you buy it for me.
I think that's the one way I would be able to justify it.
So, but for now, I think we're good to wrap up this episode of Bad Wolf Radio.
Sounds good.
All right. So as usual, you can leave us a review on iTunes. If you listen to our podcast and you enjoy it, we'd love to hear from you. Leave us a nice 5-star review over on iTunes. You can follow us on Twitter at Bad Wolf Podcast, Facebook, we are Bad Wolf Radio. You can just search us and you will find us. And you can always send us an email, badwolfpodcast@gmail.com, and find us on the Pod Tyrant Network over at Geek Tyrant. You can also find our episodes on our website, www.badwolfpodcast.com. And until next time,
later days.